but Captain Colon wasn't paying any attention. He'd removed the sugar bowl from the locked drawer of his desk and had laid the cubes out in rows.
"Do you see anything wrong with these lumps, Corporal?" he said quietly.
"Well, they're a bit manky where you've been handling them every..."
"There's 37, Corporal."
"Sorry about that, Captain."
"Visit must have pinched them when he was in here. He must have used some fancy foreign trick. They can do that, you know. Climb ropes and disappear up at the top of them, that sort of thing."
"Did he have a rope?"
said Nobby.
"Are you making fun of me, Corporal?"
Nobby saluted.
"No, sir. Maybe it was an invisible one, sir. After all, if they can disappear up a rope, they can make a rope disappear too, obviously."
"Good thinking, Corporal."
"On the subject of thinking, sir," said Nobby, plunging in, "have you had time in your busy schedule to give some thought to the promotion of the new sergeant?"
"I have, as a matter of fact, put that very thing in hand, Corporal."
"Good, sir."
"I've borne in mind everything you said, and the choice was staring me in the face."
"Yes, sir," said Nobby, sticking out his chest and saluting.
"I just hope it doesn't cause loss of morals. It can do that when people are promoted. So if there's any trouble like that, I want the sugar-stealing person reported to me right away, understand?"
"Yes, sir."
Nobby's feet had almost left the ground.
"And I shall rely on you, Corporal, to let me know if Sergeant Flint has any trouble."
"Sergeant Flint," said Nobby in a little voice.
"I know he's a troll, but I won't have it said I'm an unfair man."
"Sergeant Flint?"
"I knows I can rely on you, Corporal."
"Sergeant Flint?"
"That will be all. I've got to go and see his lordship in an hour, and I want some time to think. That's what my job is, thinking."
"Sergeant Flint?"
"Yes. I should go and report to him if I was you."
White chicken feathers were scattered across the field. The farmer stood at the door of his hen house, shaking his head. He glanced up as a horseman approached.
"Good morrow, sir. Are you experiencing trouble?"
The farmer opened his mouth for a witty, or at least snappy, response, but something stopped him. Perhaps it was the sword the horseman had slung across his back. Perhaps it was the man's faint smile. The smile was somehow more frightening.
"Earth, something's been at my fowls," he ventured. "Fox, I reckon."
"Wolf, I suspect," said the rider.
The man opened his mouth to say, "Don't be daft, we don't get wolves down here this time of year." But again the confident smile made him hesitate.
"Got many hens, did they?"
"Six,"
said the farmer.
"And they got in by..."
"Well, that's a strange thing. Here, keep that dog away."
A small mongrel had leapt down from the saddle and was sniffing around the hen houses.
"He won't be any trouble."
"I shouldn't push your luck, mate. He's in a funny mood,"
said a voice behind the farmer. He turned round quickly. The dog looked up at him innocently. Everyone knew that dogs didn't talk.
"Woof! Bark! Whine!"
it said.
"He's highly trained," said the rider. "Yeah, right," said the voice behind the farmer.
He felt an overpowering desire to see the back of the horseman. The smile was getting on his nerves, and now he was hearing things.
"I can't see how they got in," he said. "The door's latched."
"And wolves don't usually leave payments, right?" said the rider.
"How the hell did you know that?"
"Well, several reasons, sir, but I couldn't help noticing that you clenched your fist tightly as soon as you heard me, and I surmise, therefore, that you found, let me see, $3 left in the chicken house. $3 would buy 6 fine birds in Ankh-Morpork pork."
The man opened his fist wordlessly. The coins glinted in the sunlight.
"But I sells them at the gate for 10p, he wailed. "They only had to ask."
"Probably didn't want to bother you," said the horseman. "Since I am here, sir, I would be grateful if you could sell me a chicken."
Behind the farmer, the dog said,
"Woof, woof."
"2 chickens, and I will not trespass further upon your time."
"Woof, woof, woof."
"3 chickens," said the rider wearily, "and if you have them dressed and cooked while I tend to my horse, I will gladly pay $1 each.
"Woof, woof."
"Without garlic or any seasoning on 2 of the chickens, please," said the rider.
The farmer nodded wordlessly. $1 a chicken wasn't chicken feed. You didn't turn up your nose at an offer like that. But most importantly, you didn't disobey a man with that faint little smile on his face. It didn't seem to move or change. As smiles went, you wanted this one to go as far away as possible. He hurried off to the yard that held his best fowls, reached down to select